Ladies spring fever thing happening Wednesday. Arlene is organizing it. If you're a lady, you can bring food for four or five, not too many, and don't bring too many meat dishes. And don't forget your pantyhose. Aye, 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 aye. Okay, don't forget the women's retreat, March 3rd. See Crystal or Kirsten for information on that. Maybe you don't have enough money to go. God is able to supply that for you. Praise his holy name. So right on. So I just want to read a quick passage out of the Bible. I was just flipping, found Ephesians here. Ephesians is an amazing book, six chapters. The first three are who you are in Christ. The last three are how to live in Christ. I think there's about 17 times the word in Christ in the first two chapters of Ephesians. This just blew me away here. I was getting into all the Greek and aorist tenses of the verbs and all this. It's really complicated. But just listen to this. This is who you are in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God. This is Paul writing this. Well, Holy Spirit, of course. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Accordingly, he has chosen us. In him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Wow. According to the good pleasure of his will. That's amazing. Let's just praise God for who he is and for what he's done this morning. Thanks.
Amen.
And exalt you this morning. God, you are far above anything we can imagine or think. God, thank you that you care to even dwell here with us today. And so, Lord, we just want to offer ourselves to you. We just want to come before you. We bow before you. We want to throw away all these things that are distracting us, God. The things that are holding us back from knowing you. God, we throw those away because we want you. We want you, all of you. You are our God, and we just thank you. Thank you, God. Bless this time together, Lord. I pray that you will bless the speakers, that you will unite us today because of you. Lord, send your spirit into this place. We just want all of you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Sorry. Brother Mark is going to bring the word to us today. Mark Copeland. I've known Mark for quite a while. What? Turned on? Hello? Hey. Thanks, Doug. Brother Mark's going to bring us the word today. Was anybody encouraged last time he spoke? Like, it was encouraging. I found it very encouraging. I think we should name Mark, change his middle name to Phineas. That's Aaron, the high priest's grandson. He had an incredible zeal for the Lord, and God made an everlasting memorial for him because he had this zeal for God. Brother Mark has a bit of a zeal for the Lord, so, okay, I can't talk much longer, Mark. Hurry up. So anyway, we're looking forward to hearing from him. Praise his holy, awesome name, God. Just thinking of Colossians 1, when we were during worship there, Colossians 1:13-14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Oh, praise God. That's a good verse, eh? That's what God has done for us. think so. I don't know. I don't know.
No, no, the mic has got to come down.
Oh, it's got to be.
Yeah, the mic is.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
There. Hey,
no, hey, can you hear me?
No, turn it on.
Turn it on.
Turn it on. I don't know. Oh, hey, right here?
I don't know. Hey, right here.
Yep, there you go.
Hello,
yeah.
Y'all. Oh, hey.
Are y'all?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Move it up. Move it up a little bit.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. There we go. Praise God.
Lord, fill them with your spirit and glorify your name through them. Encourage us through the word this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Well, greetings all my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus here at Potter's. Nice to be back home again. Had a good 2 weeks at work and just flew by. God did a lot of good things up at work. And it all came down. Shoot, there was like a week and a half ago, I got off work. I knew I was going to be sharing here. And I was going to listen to some teaching, but I was just lying back in my bed and just seeking God and asking for a lot of wisdom and revelation on what he wanted me to share about. And I spent some good time with the Lord, and I was listening to some teaching. And then all of a sudden, wow, man, the Holy Spirit just hit me just like that. He says, this is what you got to share. And I says, okay, Lord, that's what I'll have to share. And the church today, and it goes down to the Word of God, hey? And the church today, the Lord told me, my people are perishing because of lack of knowledge. And nobody is learning and understanding what the Word of God really means and the power of the Word of God. Like when the power of God dwells in your heart, man, all things are possible. There's nothing impossible when the Word of God complete, when you sow it completely in your heart, you can do anything. The power of God will kill any disease, sickness. It'll take away any kind of drug, any alcohol beverage, doesn't matter what it is. But when you sow the Word of God inside you, man, things are going to happen. Praise you, Jesus. And the Lord showed me here, like in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, it says here, Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. And Peter is writing this. And this is to us, too. This is like what Peter is just writing to every single one of us right here. To those, you, through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ, that we have all received a faith as precious as his. We've all been given the same measure of faith as Jesus, as Peter, as Paul, as anybody. We all have the same measure of faith as them. And it says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them that we may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by its evil desire. And man, that is so powerful. That is just truth all the way. Like whatever you're going through, there's a word, a promise in the Word of God that'll deliver you from every single thing, whatever you're ever going through. And then the Lord showed me, like in the Gospel of Mark, hey, and in chapter 4. And man, that so many people overlook that, just read right through it, and they don't realize that the power, this is where the kingdom of God is. And when you read it in chapter 4, and he's talking about the sower, hey, and I'm going to read that pretty well the whole chapter. And it says, and this is Jesus talking, like, this ain't so-and-so, this is your king. This is Jesus, this is the guy that's living right inside of you right now that's talking. And it says, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. And in this teaching, he said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times, 100-fold. Then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parable, and he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may never, they may ever be seen but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Then Jesus says, don't you understand this parable? And if you don't understand it, how then will you understand any parable or anything what God is telling you and what he has shown you? And what Jesus goes on to say, hey, about, and he says, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. And some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. And those instructions, what God is completely telling you, like Jesus is telling you, like, if you want to see the power of God work in your life, the word of God has to be sown in your heart. Like, it's got to be there, like, meditating day and night. And like, when you, like, Joshua 1:8 says, you know, about meditating on the word of God day and night and seeking the Lord, and then you shall be prosperous. And same thing in Psalm 1, the very first psalm, hey? It's just, yeah. I've got so many notes here, just, yeah, okay, here we go. Yeah, and Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And you are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever you do, you prosper. And that's the result of when you sow the word of God, when you meditate on the word of God. And the power of God, like the results come from there when we're meditating and just seeking God all the time. Hey, like, man, I get up in the morning, just thank you, Jesus, man. He says, like, we come here today, this is his courts, this is enter his courts with thanksgiving, his praise in your heart. And like, we're coming here and thanking Jesus, like the worship, man. And they're the angels up, you know, they're looking down, the Lord's sitting here right here, right now, and the angels are just having one hell of a party. We'll see the views of that. They're having one heck of a party right now of the worship and the praise that's going on, because the power of praise just lifts up God. God comes down here and listens to the praise of his people, right? And, but it comes down, you know, like we're perishing, and we have to get the word of God. We have to study God. We have to study his word. He chose us from we were predestined. He chose every single one of us that gave our heart to Jesus. Before you even born in the foundations of this world, we were chosen. We were predestined. We're redeemed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God, eh? And his word, like Jesus, he spoke the word when the Lord God made this creation, this world. He spoke the word. The sun appeared. He spoke the word, the moons and the stars. When he spoke the word. And his word says, how majestic, like all of a sudden, I was studying the word of God, and all of a sudden I was sleeping, and all I could think of, I was getting a vision of Psalm 19. And the majestics of the heaven, the glory of the heavens declare his word and the power of God. And all of a sudden I'm driving, I just hit White Court, just get south of town. I stopped off of this little side road just for a little break, eh? And all of a sudden I'm looking in the sky and it's just clear. And every star, you could see thousands of stars. I'm going, wow, Lord, this is awesome. Like you named everyone by name. You spoke the word and you called everyone by name. And I turned to the east and the northern lights are just dancing, eh? And it was just so awesome just seeing the glory of God. His creation. It's just like, man, the northern lights are just dancing around in the different colors, hey? And it was just absolutely amazing. And that's the power of God. And when you get, I'm going to go to Hebrews here right now. And the Hebrews, hey, like when Hebrews 4:2, it says here, I'll read 4:1-2. It says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. And like it was just absolutely zero. They didn't trust God. They didn't even believe God, who God was, hey? And they wouldn't use their faith because it's impossible to please God without faith. And the power of the word of God, and you go to Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to divide into soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eye, before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Like, man, when you speak the word and the word dwells and is sown in your heart, it is so powerful. And you can do absolutely anything, man. And when the enemy comes, he wants to come and steal the word from. That's his job. When you don't have this, like, the enemy's not scared of the Bible, hey? Like, he ain't scared of God's word. You can sit it on your head for 24 hours. It ain't going to do a darn thing to you. You can have it underneath your armpit and walk around for 10 days. It ain't going to do anything to you until you get the word of God off the paper and into your heart, into your inner man. And then you'll see the power of God work in your life. And nothing is going to harm you because he made us more than conquerors. He called us to be conquerors. He made us more than conquerors. And he fought every single battle for us, and he won. Because it's by his blood and the word of our testimony that we are victorious, hey? Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives. And, that is an amen deluxe with cheese right there, I'll tell you. And same thing when you're tired, hey? Glory to God, man. He is so good. It is just so, so awesome at the things that he does. And I'm going to go to Isaiah 40 here. And Isaiah 40, it says here at... right here. Oh, Wrong one there. Yeah, they're right here. It says here, "Do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. And he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, you will renew your strength. You will soar in wings like eagles, and you will run and not grow weary, and you will walk and not be faint." And that's another promise of God, hey? And you get up and you're thinking that you're tired and weary. You start confessing the word of God, and it comes alive in you. When you make the confess every word and every promise of God, you are just going to grow. Like that song, The Good, Good Father, and there's this part of that song, he says, go deeper, I want to go deeper. God created us for fellowship. He created us to go as deep as possible, to see his glory. The glory of God dwells in our heart, and he wants to reveal it to every single one of us has every ability to walk the same walk as Jesus. Jesus told us, you're going to do the same things as I, and even greater things you will do, hey? And when you speak the word of God, like when you go into the book of Mark, also the 12th chapter and even the 16th chapter, when you speak the word of God, it says in Jesus' name, you speak the word in Jesus' name, you're going to cast out demons. In the name of Jesus, you're going to lay hands on the sick. You take these hands and you're going to lay them on the sick and they shall recover. That's a promise of God. They will recover. And they're only going to recover. And when you sow the word of God in your heart, you're going to see the miraculous and the power of God work in everybody. Like the end times are coming here, and you're going to see such a revival and such a fire going on and the power of God throughout all creation that the miracles, you're going to see little kids probably 8 and 9 years old laying hands on the sick, laying hands on people that are completely paralyzed and they're just going to get out of their chairs and everything, and they're just going to walk. The power of God is going to be just so real and so powerful. And it's just going to be absolutely amazing. But the thing we got to do is to seek God, seek him with all our heart. You know, like God says, be holy for I am holy. God says, draw closer to me and I will draw closer to you. Our God is a jealous God. He wants our heart. He wants to develop a relationship with us. He wants every single one of us. He wants you to enjoy every blessing he has given. He promises every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms is yours. Come to him. He promises the Holy Spirit. And when you pray, ask Holy Spirit. Your word, Lord, says here that you send the Holy Spirit to dwell inside me. And you're going to lead me to all truth and understanding. So, Father, as I seek you, as I read your word, give me a revelation of your truth. Give me a revelation of this scripture. Show me all truth and understanding. So your word says that I can do the same things as you, Jesus. Your word says I'm even going to do greater things than you, Father. And, Father, take this body and let me glorify your name. That you will receive all the glory and the honor. That there's so many people that are out there lost. And when they see the power of God, he did all the miracles for people that were lost. So that they would see the power of God manifested, that they would give their heart to Jesus. And as I was listening to this teaching, Andrew Womack, he's from Colorado Springs, a man. What a powerful man of God. This guy isn't no phony, hey? And he's no entertainer. He tells you how it is, hey. And on his property, there's this great big boulder. It's over 100 feet high, 100 feet by 100 feet. And there was a little hollow in the top of the rock, that boulder. And that humongous boulder, a seed fell on that boulder into that little hollow. And it grew. And that seed became a tree. And that 100-foot boulder is splitting because of the roots of that little seed. And the word of God is that seed. He's given, you know, That little tree is just growing. You could spend 100 years with a jackhammer. You wouldn't even put a dent into that boulder. But that little seed, it's like the word of God working inside of you. It's all it takes is a seed, the mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds. And you can just move mountains. You tell that mountain to get out, you're like, boom, gone in the name of Jesus. But when we speak the name of Jesus, like the disciples, all they had was the name of Jesus when they were walking. You know, just in Jesus' name. They didn't have the rest of the New Testament as we have it, you know, and the New Covenant. Like, well, yeah, they had the New Covenant because you can't pour new wineskin in an old wineskin because it's just going to, you know what's going to happen, eh, when you mix the old and the new, eh? But those disciples, everywhere they went, they used the name of Jesus, hey. And people were being raised from the dead. Paralytics, get off that floor. Oh, I don't have any money or anything to give you, but one thing I have to you, get pick up your mat and walk in Jesus' name, hey. Because the word of God was so sown in their heart, and they walked with the Lord. But with us, it's the same thing. When we walk with Jesus, when we sow the word of God into our hearts, and we seek him, and you take a scripture, any scripture, and just meditate, lie on your bed, and just keep on meditating. Close your eyes, and let your imagination, and you'll see that come to real life. It'll come real in your whole life, hey. When you lie down, okay, thank you, Lord. I'm not saying all of a sudden the sickness, I'll say, thank you, Lord. By your stripes, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord. Peter reminded you again, by your stripes, you were healed. He's reminded you're already healed. This is the word of God. You go in Isaiah, yet you're healed. But now Peter's reminded you were healed. Amen. Claim that promise. Seek it. Meditate on that promise of God. And you will walk. You will get healed. I've seen it in myself. Sickness by God. And people say, I don't care. I'm not going to say I'm sick or anything. I'm not going to compromise the word of God. And it's just like, you go in the book of Daniel, hey, like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They didn't bow down, you know. They did not bow down when they asked, you go to worship this king and blah, blah, and you put away your God. No, they got thrown in the furnace. And the fourth man, you want to listen to a good sermon? Listen to Oral Roberts, go on YouTube and listen to The Fourth Man by Oral Roberts. And you'll be completely blessed and taught by the word of God. But they didn't bow down. If you bow down, you're going to burn. And if you don't bow down, you won't burn. Never compromise the word of God, hey? Because, yeah, you cannot compromise God. Because that's what is happening with the soil. People get the works and the worries of this world when they're seed. All that seed, like God uses, for example, the seed. As a farmer, how you take that little seed, hey? And that little tiny seed, the word of God, and get it planted. And that fruit will just grow. See, he promised you're going to bear fruit, hey? You want to see that fruit come out. And when that fruit comes out, the world is just going to be completely changed. People are going to come to know Jesus. They're going to look at you like God. Jesus died to reconcile man to God. And when the word of God is planted in you, and you're just worshiping and following God and obeying the Lord and walking with him, the radiance of God is just going to reflect from your face. They're going to see that sparkle in your eyes. They're going to say, what does that person have that I don't have? I got Jesus. Would you like Jesus in your heart? Would you like to know Jesus? Would you like to have eternity? Where are you going to go? Where do you think you're going to die? Well, they'll go, blah, blah, I don't know, blah, 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 I don't believe in this and this. But the word of God, trust in him, you know, everlasting eternity. You know, like eternity's eternity. Every day is going to be like, wow, we're going to be listening to the Lord and seeing things that he's going to be showing us when we're in heaven. And we're just, every day it's going to be, wow, Lord, this is amazing. Glory to you, Father. Like everybody's going to be there, hey? And it's just absolutely going to be amazing. And, yeah, I love talking about the Lord, eh? It's, yeah, even all the guys at work, man, like, I don't care about them, but, man, they always come up to me, hey? They say, Mark, always has our back, because he's praying for us all the time, eh? Guys ask me, He says, Mark, I bet you probably pray for us when we're home, eh? I said, yeah, I do. I'm praying for the salvation and for your safety and protection wherever you go. I told the guys, I pray for you guys when you go home on your days off. I plead the blood of Jesus over your vehicle so you can get back to your family safe. And that's why nothing has happened, because it's the power of God that's working. You guys don't know him, but he is working in your lives right now. He's drawing you closer, because the power of God says, that's what I claim when I pray for him. It says, Father, your word says, Father, that nobody can come to know you unless you draw them. And I says, Father, you don't want to see anyone perish, that every man and woman would come to know you, come to repentance, and have fellowship with you, hey? And I claim that promise when I pray for people. And I accept it. I go, thank you, Jesus, because they are predestined also, like how we were. And I says, Lord, the day I got saved, you knew that day would come. Man, that was in October of 1984, hey? And the Lord knew. He predestined that time for the day I was going to accept him, hey? And it was just, I'm glad he did, though, because, man, I probably wouldn't be here right now if I wouldn't have known Jesus, hey? And I'm going to go into the book of Ephesians here right now. Because I had this written down too, what you were had there also in Ephesians, hey? Yeah. But first I'm going to go to Ephesians 3:19, hey? And it says here in Ephesians 3:19, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure, to the fullness of God, hey? That's another promise of God. When you read that whole prayer, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of your glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Like, that is so powerful. Like, when you pray that prayer for your friends, pray that prayer for your friends that are Christians that are weak in faith also. Just pray. Keep on praying that prayer. And same thing in the first book of Ephesians. There's another prayer you can pray for other people. Pray for yourself. And it says, for this reason, in Ephesians 1:15 and on, it says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And we're his saints. We are the saints of Jesus here. We're all brothers, my brothers. Like, our names in heaven are written under as kings and priests and queens. That's what we're written in the Lamb's Book of Life, eh? We're not so-and-so. No, we're a king and we're a priest, and you're a queen in the book of the Lord, hey? But it is just so unreal when you look at these promises, hey? And then the power. Ephesians 5:1 also, hey, this is the Lord. This is a command from God. It says, be an imitator of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. Be an imitator of God. And when you're seeking the Lord, hey, and sowing that word, and that's the main thing you've got to get back, is sowing the word of God in our heart, hey, and spending time with Jesus. Because, man, the Lord, he loves every single one of us, hey, and he wants nothing but the best. And every promise is for every single one of us. Every single one of us, when the power of God and the word is so, and we're living as Jesus lived and doing the same things as Jesus said we would do, and we would be even doing greater things. We're going to be seeing people raised from the dead. We're going to be seeing people walk out of the chairs. We're going to be seeing people throwing their crutches away. You're going to be seeing cancer healed just like that. Any kind of sickness, disease is just going to be gone. But we're going to use the name of Jesus. The power, the glory, and the name of Jesus is going to take care of everything. As we sow in our heart, and then that power. So we have the same power in us that raised Jesus from the dead. Like that power dwells in every single one of us. Every single one of us, hey? And like when I got saved, and I used to belong to, as a member of the Full Gospel Businessmen's, hey? And I saw some pretty wild miracles happen, hey? I saw deaf ears open. There was another lady that pretty well died on stage. And another pastor came over, this guest speaker, says, we're not going to call an ambulance. We're going to call Dr. Jesus. And he laid hands on that woman that was pretty well dead. And she got up and walked, hey? And it's this stuff is just so real. Andrew Walmack has raised so many people from the dead. The Lord has used them. And all over, hey? And that same power is in us. And we seek the Lord with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and believe and trust in him. All things are possible. There's nothing is impossible. And man, it is just so powerful. And same thing in 1 Peter 24. It says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all the glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord will stand forever, hey? And man, and then you go into the Gospel of John, the very beginning of John, hey? It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. And that light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And the Word, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, the three in one. And when we made Christ and invited Christ into our hearts to be a follower of Jesus, we have that same power. And God is just crying to every single one of us. He's jealous. He says, don't waste your time going to a movie. Don't waste your time watching that garbage on television. Spend time with me. Seek me, and I will show you the greatest things that you could ever do, that you could ever imagine. I will bless you because I've blessed you. You have the blessings of Abraham. It's another thing. I thank the Lord. I says, thank you, Father, that I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus, that I enjoy the blessings of Abraham. We've all have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Every bit, every single, everything, sickness, poverty, you name it, we have been redeemed from it all. Everything. Because Jesus Christ did it for us on the cross. He went up on that cross for us. And he asked the Lord, the Father, to take it away. But then he realized, no, this is for all of us. He did this for every single one of us. He hung on that cross. He got nailed. And he says, forgive them, Father. He forgave them, even though they put him to death, so that we might have life and have life more abundantly. And the abundant life that God has given. The devil came to kill, seek, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come to give you life to the fullness. Abundant life. Thank the Lord for the abundant life, the abundance. Thank the Lord when you wake up in the morning for the roof over your head. Thank you, Jesus, for the bed I sleep in. Thank you, Lord, for the vehicle I drive. Thank you for the finances that you've given, Lord, that you've blessed us with. And those finances, we can take those finances and bless others with them. And it's just a roller coaster of blessings. And God's placed that upon us. And he did this all for every single one of us. Like Jesus, man. What would we ever do without Jesus? Like that song, Give Me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. We want Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Father God. I'm going to go into Romans 8 here. Oh, man, this is just... Thank you, Jesus. You are just so awesome, Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Romans 8:28 and on says here, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. He predestined. He called all of us. And he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Like he's going to graciously, he says, I'll graciously give you all things. And when you abide in the Spirit, and you abide in Jesus, and you read the Gospel of John, and you read the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th chapter, I hope and I pray that, man, I get so much revelation when I read and study those chapters, 14, 15, 16, and 17. It's all those promises. When you ask the Father, I will give you whatever you ask. Believe. It's all he's saying is just believe. You don't go begging. You don't beg God for nothing. You just ask him and you believe. You know, that's all he wants you to do. Ask. Come to him. Come to him. Bow down. Humble yourself. See, just thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing and what you continually do. Thank you, Father God, for what's going. Thank you, Lord, for what's going in this church, into Potter's. Thank you for the change and the things that are happening here, Father. It's just absolutely amazing what you're doing. He's called us to go reach out the world. God didn't call the church to make converts. Jesus commanded us to make disciples. He didn't call us to make converts and have babies and kick them off in the corner and go out and convert another baby and push them off into the garbage. No, he called us to make disciples, to teach them the word of God. We're going to be accountable to the elders and the seniors in this church. We're going to be accountable to the Lord. When there's young Christians and baby Christians in here, we're going to be accountable for not teaching them and explaining the Word of God to them and watching them grow. The Word of God tells us to watch after them, to teach them, to show them, and to guide them as Jesus has led and guided us by the Holy Spirit when we seek him. Above all, let's give our heart to Jesus. Let him have it all. Let him take control of your whole life. And the things that we will see, it is just going to be so absolutely amazing. It is just going to be so good. And God is so good. He loves every single one of us. Every single one. He said, I will never ever leave you or forsake you. I'm going to be with you to the very end. And God, if there's anybody in here that does not have a relationship with Jesus, if you would like a relationship with Jesus, to know exactly where your place will be, that you're going to be walking, you're going to see him in eternity, come up here if you want to have Jesus live in your heart. if there's anyone in here. He wants you so bad. He died for you. He wants you to come to know him, to walk with him. But thank you very much for this day. It's just such an honor. I thank you, Father, for giving me this opportunity to share your word. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank you so much, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to you, Father God. Glory.
Thank you.
You're welcome, my brother. Okay.
Brother?
Yeah, okay.
There's a guy who needs to speak with more conviction, but. Love you.
I love you too, brother.
And you know, I didn't want to. There may be a few people here that you say, you know, I need some prayer. We're going to do that. There's going to be opportunity for that. I think we'll save that just for the end.
Yeah.
Because we're going to come to the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
We're going to pray together now. And then there's a couple things I want to say as we. Just take what Mark was saying. Take it to heart. It's about the word of God, right? It's about the seed that's in our hearts. And you have that seed. So let's just start with prayer. God, again,
Father.
I just thank you for this word.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you for your word.
Yes, Father.
I thank you that you give us good minds so that we can search your word. I thank you for the gift of the word of God and for Jesus, the word made flesh, who even dwells among us and in us. Thank you, God, that we know the mind of God. We know your heart because we know your word. And that was a great message, just that we need to spend more time in your word. It's such a gift. It's such a treasure that we need to appreciate it. We need to employ it. We need to put it into use.
Thank
you. So bless my brother, Mark, and help us to take that word to heart. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You say amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you,
it's good.
Jesus.
And you know, near the end of that message, Mark was pointing to the cross, and throughout the whole message, he was pointing to Jesus. And that's really what our whole lives are all about. You know, give me Jesus. What do we have without Jesus Christ? And what a gift that he has given us, the word. I love that message. I read a study, it was a while back now, but that more Christians spend time brushing their teeth than they do actually in the word of God. We spend more time brushing our teeth than we do studying the word or in the word. We need to do more of that. And it isn't, I don't like the way that sounds. We need to do this, we need to do that. It's not about what you need to do. It's about what a treasure this is. Like, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we want to know the word more if it's available to us, if there really is power in it, and there is, just exactly what Mark was saying. There's power in this. So it's not about obligation. It's about taking advantage of what's there already. It's such a gift. You know, it's like someone giving you a gift. Why don't you open it? You know, I got this beautiful gift. It's a nice box, and it's nicely wrapped. It's got a nice bow on it. I leave it on the shelf. It collects dust. Why don't you open it? There's something in it that's really a treasure, right? All right. We're going to come to the Lord's Supper, and this is also in God's Word, so it fits in pretty good. It's Jesus who said, you know, this is for you. This is for you. It's not just for the guy next to you. This is for you. This is my bread. I give it to you. I break it so that you can eat it, so that you can drink, so you can remember today many of the things that we were already told, that I love you, that I'm with you right to the very end. We come to the Lord's table for those very reasons. We come to be reminded that we're forgiven. If you came here today and you're thinking, I'm dirty, I'm not clean, I can never be forgiven, you came to the right place because you're going to hear this today, and this is God's word, that you are forgiven, you are clean, your sins are forgiven. Whatever you've done in the past, God doesn't remember them anymore. He does not remember them. You are washed clean, you are forgiven. You are righteous. That means you are right in God's sight because of the blood of Christ. We cannot do this without the blood of Jesus. When we come to the table today, we celebrate that thing. The blood of Jesus. We celebrate that he died for us. You know, like Mark said, he hung there so that we could have life. And this is about freedom. That's a word that I woke up with this morning. You know, God was saying, tell him about freedom. If you're not free, you can be free. Right? We have freedom. because of what Jesus did. We really do. We have freedom. You don't need to walk around with the weight of sin anymore. You don't need to kick yourself. You don't need to live in regret. And mostly shame, because I think that's what the enemy uses and other people use against us too. It's shame, right? You, and we're pointing fingers. Today, that shame dies in us. As we come to the Lord's Supper, the shame dies. You don't need to be ashamed. You don't need to live in that shame because Jesus took the shame away. Do you agree with that? So when we come to the Lord's table, we remember what Jesus did. Jesus died. He gave his life for us. In a few moments, we're going to stand in a circle like we usually do, and the bread is going to be passed out and the little cups of juice. We're going to remember that the bread is a symbol of the body that hung on the cross. And the blood is the wine, or the juice, I should say, is a symbol of the blood of Jesus that poured out for the remission, for the removal of our sins. There is no one that is not redeemable. That's what God believes. That's what God says. There is no one who's gone too far, who's done too many bad things, that cannot be redeemed. Every one of us can be redeemed. And that's why God sent. That's why the Father sent Jesus. You are redeemable. You are not past the point of no return. Isn't that good? I don't know about you. There's times I felt like, man, I've gone past the point of no return. Well, that's not true with Jesus. You're not. If you're still breathing, everyone here still breathing? If you're not breathing, it doesn't apply. But if you're still breathing, you are not past the point of no return. You can come to Jesus. You can ask him to forgive you. He really just says two things are necessary. You need to repent and you need to believe. Just repent. And all repentance is you say, I'm sorry. God, I blew it. I'm sorry. He never beat you up. I repent and I believe in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we prepare our hearts, I'm going to ask, maybe would you go get the kids to come in, and I'll ask the musicians to come to the front. We're going to sing Good, Good Father as we stand in a circle. But before we do that, I'm just going to pray. God, thank you. Lord Jesus, we're grateful for the cross. Thank you that you give us this very tangible way of tasting of how good you are, that we remember and believe today. We remember the body and the blood of Jesus. We remember that we are saved only because of your sacrifice. Our sacrifice could never do it. Our goodness could never do it. It demanded our salvation, our forgiveness demanded the Son of God to give his life. We're grateful for that today. And we point our faces toward the cross right now. We point our faces toward the cross and we just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we are redeemable in your sight. You're a good, good Father. Amen? Amen. Why don't we go stand in a circle?
Hey, Doug? Tell that Doug you just start. I think he's going anyway.
Just going to ask. When you get the piece of bread, when you get the little cup, just hang on to them for a minute, okay? We're going to take together. We're going to just worship. As the bread and as the juice are passed, just hold them. Amen. You are loved by God. You are loved by God. Look to the person to your right and tell them that. You are loved by God. Hopefully that wasn't a secret. That's not a secret anymore, right? You are loved by God. You are loved by God. I like the way that sounds. I like the way that rolls off my tongue. You are loved by God. God thinks that you are pretty special. God thinks that you're the greatest thing because he created you. He made you. You are loved by God. Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he had supper with his closest disciples, with his friends. And Jesus knew that he was going to the cross. He knew he was going to be betrayed, and he knew that they were going to demand his life and that it was going to be the most awful thing that could be imagined. And he broke the bread, and he passed it to his friends, and he said, this is my body. I give it to you. Remember and believe today. Remember and believe the body and that you are loved by God. Say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. Someone needs to put a little piece of bread in Crystal's mouth. You got it? Okay. I want to make sure we're all getting to enjoy this. So Crystal and Mark get their little piece of bread too. So, and then, you know, the blood, especially in Hebrew tradition and in Hebrew teaching, the blood in the Old Testament, there's always life. It's in Deuteronomy. It's throughout the Old Testament. There's life in the blood. There's life in the blood. And when Jesus gave his blood, when he poured it out on the cross, it was so that we'd make that proclamation today. There's life in the blood. Not just some vague life somewhere out there, but life in me. Amen? There's life in the blood. The life that lives in me because Jesus Christ lives in me. Because I am no longer dead in sin. I am no longer dead in my trespasses. I am no longer that old man who kept stumbling and falling. I am a new creation, and I am free. Amen? This is the blood. This is the life. As you drink it, remember, l'chaim, to life, to the life of Christ. Perfect. Just sing that. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us. Sing it again. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Amen. You know, whenever you go to someone's house and they're good enough to give you a meal, whenever you go visit other people or they make something for you or you come to their table, it's always appropriate to say thank you. And so we want to just do that briefly again this morning. And just in one word or just quick little things. How do we thank God for all the things he's done for us? How do we say thank you, Jesus, today? We're just going to maybe just quiet the music so we can hear each other. I want to give you this opportunity. What are you thankful for? How do you fill in the gap? Thank you, Jesus, for life. For treating me better than I deserve. I heard someone else. For love. Thank you for love. For healing, for protection. Thank you, Jesus. For family. For salvation and for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Let's give a big hand. Hallelujah. It's okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Some more. What are you thankful for? For birthdays. All right. Yeah, Colleen. For creation? For restoration. You say amen to that? He's a God who restores. Anyone needing that? Anyone have had that? Thank you, God, that you don't discard us as garbage. You restore. Amen? What else? For creation. Say it. Redemption. I'm bought with a price. Yes. Silly. Yes, for the word. For broken water pipes. I'm guessing there's a story behind that. Thank you, Jesus. Doug. Grandkids made in the image of God. Mal. Not just living, but living for God. We say thank you, Lord. Amen. Give him a big hand. Hallelujah. I want to remind you, just as we're concluding here, we're closing, and we're going to play a video as we end here. I want to remind you, I want you to walk out with this today, that you're clean. You do not get to walk out of here dirty. You're clean. You are whiter than snow, and you can just look at it. God gave you that great symbol. He says, I will wash you clean. My blood will make you even whiter than snow. I don't think there is anything whiter than snow except me. No, except you, right? You're even whiter than that, the whiteness of snow. I want you to remember this today, that this is why we live for Christ. This is why we come to his table. This is why we meditate on his word. It's so that our hearts can be clean. And you came in here, and I could feel it. Some of you came in here with a lot of dirtiness, with regret, with there's something soiled. There's something soiled in your heart. There's some corruption you brought in here. I am going to encourage you in the name of Jesus today and by the power of the blood of Jesus that you leave it here today. The sadness, the shame, the brokenness, leave it here. Don't take it with you. You do not need to take this with you. You do not need to take this with you. Jesus died so you could leave it here. He died so you could be victorious. He died so that you could be free, and so you could be clean. Are you hearing me? He died so that you could be free, and you could be clean. You walk out of here today, there isn't even one spick, or speck, or whatever the word is. There isn't one speck of filthiness in you. Would you play that, Tim? Just play the song. I want you to just sing this, if you know it. It's a song that if you listen to the radio, a Christian radio station, you'll know this song. It's simply got one word is the name of this song. And then we're going to end on this note. It's called Clean. You're clean. There we go.
Broken, but you see beautiful.